Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 5. This week we continue with more Lansing Lugnuts content. This week on The Conversation, we have interviews with Lugnuts reliever Will Browning and second baseman Christian Lopes. But first, as usual, the minor league roundup. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. And now, the minor league roundup. The Buffalo Bisons still sit atop the International League North, but a 4-4 run over the last 8 games has allowed the Pawtucket Red Sox to close the gap to just 1 game. The Bisons still lead the International League with a .291 team batting average and 49 home runs, but have slipped to 3rd in overall runs scored. The problems are with the fluid pitching situation, players getting called up to and sent down from the Toronto Blue Jays. The pitching staff ranks 4th from the bottom of the league in runs allowed and ERA. Second baseman Jim Negrich still leads the International League with a .414 average, and Luis Jimenez, the first baseman, has been red hot as well, hitting .371, which is good for second place in the International League. And he also has a team leading 9 home runs and a league leading 37 RBI. The player everyone wants to know about is Anthony Gose, who has been slumping of late. He's only hitting .150 in his last 10 games, but has been taking walks and has a .341 OBP over the course of the season. Gose has a .105 ISO, which isn't bad, but he is striking out at a rate of over 20%. Shortstop Ryan Goins hasn't been doing badly, but still only has 6 extra base hits to his name for the season. He's hitting .289 and has been taking some walks and now has an on-base percentage of .330. Catcher Josh Tolley continues to hit, proving himself to be a major leaguer waiting to get back to the bigs. He's hitting .333, .420, .520 in almost 100 at-bats, with just solid numbers all across the board. On the mound, newly promoted reliever Chad Beck has just gotten torched in his 5 innings so far, and Jeremy Jeffress has had 6 2/3 innings of solid ball, but is still walking too many, with 5 walks and 6 strikeouts in those 6 2/3 innings. Closer Neil Wagner has been very good, striking out 26 in 16 2/3 innings while walking only 7. He has been the team's closer, racking up 11 saves, while 34-year-old Juan Perez has 3 more walks and 3 fewer strikeouts than Wagner does in the same number of innings. In the Eastern League, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats are in 5th place in the Eastern Division out of 6 teams, with a 19-22 record. The AA affiliate sits in 8th place in the league in runs scored, but they're tied for 1st in home runs. The team is 6th in ERA, but 9th in runs allowed. The pitching has improved a bit, with Deck McGuire putting in strong outings in his past 3 starts, including a 6-inning, 1-run performance on May 15th. While his walk rate is up by about 1% from last season, his strikeout percentage is up over 5%, and his home run rate is way down. Encouragingly, these improved numbers, the lower batting average against and lower whip, are not BABIP, batting average on balls in play, influenced, as that number is actually slightly higher this season. His fielding independent pitching rate is also way down. It's at 3.15 this season, compared to 5.26 last season. Left-handed starter Sean Nolan has had 2 strong starts since being activated from the disabled list. The big lefty has now thrown just over 9 innings, striking out 11 and walking only 3. All looks good for Nolan, and the Blue Jays have even mentioned his name as being someone that could get a call this season if there are problems with some of the starters on the major league team. Another prospect, John Stilson, has only appeared in 2 games since being activated himself. He has given up a run in his 2 1/3 innings while giving up 3 hits, but no walks, and has struck out 6. We'll keep an eye on him for all of you out there, but it appears that the Jays have decided to keep him in the bullpen to protect his fragile arm. On the offense, center fielder Kevin Pillar continues to pile up the hits, hitting .326 with a .373 OBP and a .471 slugging percentage. A lot of the slugging comes from his 11 doubles, but he does have a triple and 4 home runs. He also has 10 stolen bases on the season. Another writer told me that he still thinks that Pillar will be an up-and-down guy, one who is constantly shuttling back and forth between AAA and the majors, but as a solid contact guy who doesn't strike out much and can take a walk with the ability to play all three outfield positions and have some speed, he could certainly be a fourth outfielder. If he can hit in the majors, that could even improve. Third base Ryan Schimpf just doesn't stop hitting. The other writer that I spoke to, who attended some games against the Trenton Thunder, doesn't see Schimpf making the majors, but he definitely puts up some interesting numbers, particularly his 9 home runs, which is leading the team, and a .374 on base percentage. Schimpf has a 5-walk game this week, showing that he has great patience, but he swings for the fences, as evidenced by his team-leading 40 strikeouts. The Dunedin Blue Jays only played 4 games this week due to rain and went 2-2 against the best team in the Florida State League, the Fort Myers Miracle. The DJs lead the North Division by 2 games with a 22-15 record and have continued their excellent pitching that seems to be defining this season. They lead the Florida State League with a 3.21 team ERA and are also first with the fewest runs allowed overall. On the batting side, they currently sit 8th in the league in runs scored and rank 5th in on-base percentage and batting average, and 8th in slugging. What these stats can tell us is that the lack of power in Dunedin is playing a big role in the lack of run production. This week, Dustin McGowan made his return to game action on a rehab assignment, and so far it's looked good. He's pitched 2 innings and 2 appearances without giving up a run and striking out 4. Top prospect Aaron Sanchez continues to pitch very well, although his latest start was not among his best. He gave up 3 runs on 4 walks and 3 hits in 5 innings with only 1 strikeout. But he still has a sub-3 ERA and a sub-1 whip. On offense, Casey Hobson leads the team in home runs with 6, despite having only 89 at-bats. His batting average is only .213 and his on-base percentage is only .242 despite a slugging percentage of .438, which gives him a .225 ISO. Hobson's definitely seeing a carryover from his increased power numbers last season, but needs to make more consistent contact. His K rate is pretty high right now at 21.2%, but it also looks like he's getting BABIPed to death with a measly 169 BABIP. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Derek Chung. The 25-year-old catcher is hitting .321, .382, .333 in his first year of full-season ball. The 31st-round pick from last year's draft is providing way more production than would have been expected from such a low pick, especially after hitting only .241, .341, .324 last year in Vancouver. The upside is that he shows good command of the strike zone, but the downside is that he has very little power. He's only hit 1 extra base hit all season. Third baseman Andy Burns continues to impress, hitting .326 with a .413 on-base percentage and a .533 slugging percentage. All signs are encouraging that this isn't an aberration. His walk rate is higher than his strikeout rate. His BABIP isn't exorbitantly high, although it's slightly elevated at .342, and his isolated slugging percentage is actually 9 points lower than it was last year. Burns also shows good speed with 13 stolen bases so far, so if he keeps this up, he won't be considered a sleeper prospect much longer. The Lansing Lugnuts are starting to turn things around since the last podcast, going 5-3 and moving up to 5th in the Eastern Division of the Midwest League standings. They did play Dayton, Lake County, and Great Lakes this week, the 3 teams lower than them in the division. The schedule has kind of evened out for them as they played some very strong teams from the Western Division to start the season. The Lugnuts sit in 11th place in the Midwest League in runs scored, showing how difficult a time they have had with the bats all year, but to make things worse, they're the second worst team in the league when it comes to runs allowed. They have had some really encouraging pitching performances of late, but there have also been some real shellackings too. One reason the pitching has been suffering of late is the injury to the team's top prospect, 18-year-old Roberto Osuna. Reports have come out that he has had an elbow injury and has been shut down to see if it will improve on its own. The dreaded words Tommy John surgery have been uttered, but this may be an indication that the youngster's mechanics might need to be adjusted, or he could be prone to elbow surgery and Tommy John surgery down the road as well. Shortstop Shane Opitz was promoted to Dunedin after a hot start that saw him hit .370 with 5 doubles and a triple. Second baseman Christian Lopes has been in a slump lately, and while he's still hitting almost .300 at .299, he's only hit .205 in his last 10 games. He has been showing a little more power with 6 doubles and 2 home runs, but his on-base percentage is only sitting at .318 and slugging at .382. To give you some perspective, the 5-foot-5-inch shortstop Jorge Flores has 8 doubles in about half the at-bats, so while Lopes is making good contact, he really needs to start hitting the ball with more authority. Outfielder Dwight Smith Jr. continues to play some solid ball, especially for a youngster who's still 20 and getting his first exposure to full season ball. He's hitting .262 but has taken 9 walks already and has a fairly impressive .351 on base percentage. Having seen him play live, it looks like he's going to drive the ball a lot more when he gets some more at-bats under his belt, so his .369 OBP is perfectly acceptable at this point. Mississauga native Dalton Pompey, see last week's podcast for an interview with him, has been slumping, but is still getting on base. He has 10 hits in his last 10 games, but 5 of them have been for extra bases. I'd like to see him take fewer strikeouts, he's currently at 24.8%, but we'll see how he develops. He still has a very solid .340 on base percentage and is 12 for 13 in stolen base opportunities. That indicates a very developed idea of base stealing, and with Tim Raines making the organizational rounds, one would think that he's only going to get better in that department. While a lot of the guys on the Lugnuts are slumping, I'll mention someone who is surging. Kellen Sweeney has been on fire. He's been playing mostly first base but can also play third and has about 8 games at second base under his belt this year. Originally scouted as someone with an advanced eye at the plate and above average power if he stayed at second base, he has failed to put things together as a hitter in pro ball. This year, however, he seems to be finding his way, hitting .303 in his last 10 games, with 3 multi-hit games among them. He has 6 extra base hits out of the 10 in that span, and really seems to be coming along. His OBP is over 100 points higher than his batting average, which is currently at .214, definitely improvement on what we saw in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And he has an isolated slugging of .165, which is very respectable if not good. Expect to see Sweeney hit loads of doubles and triples at home in the spacious Cooley Law School Stadium, and for him to start to go yard on the road more. If this is the light going on for Sweeney, he could be back on the prospector's radar very soon. That's all for this week's Minor League Roundup. Stay tuned for Conversations on the Blue Jays From Away podcast. At the beginning of May, I was in Lansing, Michigan, and I talked to some of the Lugnuts players. Among them was 24-year-old right-handed reliever Will Browning, who was signed last season as a non-drafted free agent. Browning has had an unbelievable start to his professional career, having given up only 4 earned runs total, and just 1 in over 20 innings this season with the Lugnuts. He has been absolutely dominant this year, completely befuddling Midwest League batters, and has a 0.40 ERA, a .882 whip, and has struck out 36 batters with 9 walks, an exceptional 4-to-1 ratio. I asked Will what has been the secret to his success.
I just haven't been getting away from my game. I've just been pounding in the strike zone, going in and going away with my slider, and just not trying to do nothing too fancy. That's not my style. Just trying to just go right after the batters, not hold anything back. So, I mean, it's been doing good for me so far this year, and I'm not going to change anything. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. And I was actually talking to one of the umpires yesterday, and he said that your slider is one of the nastiest he's seen. What do you do to throw it? I know you're a side armor, so that probably changes the angle of the pitch and of the movement of the ball. But is there anything you do specifically?
No, not really. I just try to throw it as hard as I can each time. Just like I don't take anything off of that, just like on my fastball, I just try to throw it as hard as I can. So, I mean, if I try to throw it soft, sometimes it kind of backs up on me. So I just try to throw it as hard as I can.
Browning is a Mississippi native, so I asked him what it was like pitching in Vancouver last year and in Lansing in the cold and wet weather that they've had in April this season.
Vancouver was a great city. I loved it. It's the first really big city I've actually lived in for a short period of time, and the fans were phenomenal out there. Had a great atmosphere, and I ate it up. It was a lot of fun. And up here, had a real good fan base so far, and the cold weather, just something you got to get used to. Put some icy hot, wear as many layers as I can without trying to stay comfortable out there so I can move around. So, I mean, it is what it is, but all in all, it's a game of baseball. So,
I asked Browning what he does to get ready to come into the game when the call goes to the bullpen.
I try to clear my mind, just take a deep breath, just clear my mind, and don't focus on what's going on around me. I focus on the task at hand and worry about one pitch at a time. I mean, once I let go of the ball, I can't do anything else about it. And you can't do anything about the previous pitch. Just after you release the ball, you got to worry about the next pitch. That's it. I mean, one pitch at a time. So.
So is there any routine you go through in the bullpen while warming up, or you just throw your pitches and get ready to come in?
No particular routine. I mainly just throw all fastballs, and I work in a couple sliders here and there. But mainly just get up there and just throw, and I really have no particular routine, really. So.
I also asked him what they do in the bullpen to keep themselves entertained while the game's going on.
Well, we kind of pay attention to the game when we know it's our day to be available, and tell a few jokes here and there at the beginning of the games, just try to keep it a little loose. But as we keep going on throughout the game, when you know it's your turn, you might get up, you start paying attention, and once you get up, the rest of the bullpen kind of lets you stay focused. We won't crack jokes or nothing like that. It's time to go to work, so.
So I want to ask you a question. There was a play last night where a ball was hit into the Beloit Snappers bullpen, and one of their players picked up the ball. Mm-hmm. That actually led to the batter being called out. So is that a lesson for you guys that when you guys are up to bat, or when the other team is up to bat, don't get in the way?
He kind of saved me on that. That would have been a leadoff double, I think, in the seventh inning. It would have been a leadoff double. I mean, he kind of saved me on there. But yeah, we've been playing this game in the bullpen. If a foul ball comes, everybody has to freeze, and if it hits you, you get the money in the pot. And if you move, you have to put a dollar in the pot. So I think our game will kind of help us with that, trying to stay out of the way of the ball. So.
And that was my interview with Will Browning. I also talked to Christian Lopes, the second baseman for the Lansing Lugnuts.
My name is Christian Lopes. I'm a second baseman for the Lugnuts, and it's my first full season. I'm excited. Obviously, it's still early. It is what it is so far. I've had some balls fall, but I've had a good team. You know, got a lot of guys getting on and in front of me, and helps you relax in those situations, and. So far, so good. We'll see how it goes.
What kind of player would you say you are right now? I obviously, everybody's in flux. Everybody's working on things. Everyone's developing. But what kind of player would you say you are right now?
Right now, I'd just say a young player that needs to work on a lot of things. There's a lot of parts that in this full season that we're learning and that we have to get used to, and there's a lot of a lot of things that we got to do on a daily basis. And I would say right now I'm just a guy that gets on base and just gets his knocks every now and then, get the team some runs hopefully, and for the guy on third base hopefully call myself a clutch hitter, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Well, you say there's a lot of work, so what kind of things are you working on, both with the bat and with the glove on defense?
Glove and bat, both. Just consistency, my preparation. And Barney came in, and a lot of the guys, the new hitting coaches that we got, and just stressing preparation. And as a minor leaguer, I feel like in the minor leagues, we're here to learn and prepare ourselves to learn how we can go out every day and be the same guy on the field, and just go out and compete every single day and be the same guy every single day. And I would have to say just consistency and preparation.
And what part of being in Lansing have you liked so far? You said this is your first season of full season ball. What are you enjoying about being in Lansing? What are you enjoying about playing baseball professionally in May?
I enjoy playing baseball, period. But to be a Lugnut is an honor. It's a great place to play. I enjoy the atmosphere. I enjoy the team. I enjoy the coaches. There's nothing bad I can say about the place, and as well as any place that I've been so far. Everything's been great, and being a professional is second to none. I love it, and there's still obviously a lot more room to grow, and I'm excited so far of how it's gone, but I'm excited to see how it goes.
The team itself is not having a great start to the season. What do you think you guys need to do? What do you think? Do you think there is anything you can do, or is it just a matter of going out there, working on your skills, working on just getting into that zone and having things fall for you?
Well, you know what? We are a young team, including myself. And myself included, we have a lot of things that we need to work on, like I said. It's still early, and this first half is still not over. But then we also have two halves, which is great about this league and how they do things. And we still have an opportunity to play. And right now, where I feel like our team is starting to come together. And, it hasn't been result right now we're not really result oriented, you know, as you know, obviously, but we're learning and we're truly growing together. The chemistry's building, and you know, it's a long season, and we really are getting used to each other and how our tendencies are and how, you know, what certain things we can do to guys, and you know, but it's been fun, and I would have to say we're getting there.
Great. I have actually a specific question because I've been to the last couple games and I've seen you hitting over that time. And yesterday you had a line shot down the left field line. That was the first time I saw you turn on a ball. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you're working on? Are you working on going the other way? Because I saw you the other day taking a couple of really tough sliders the other way, putting them in play. Is it something that you're working on to be more opportunistic, to look for those places that you can turn on a ball and drive it in your hitting approach?
I mean, last year I actually had a lot of balls that were pulled. So I mean, this year, as far as pulling balls, I would have to say it just hasn't came yet. I mean, I'm a guy who likes to look away and react in, and you know, I haven't really gotten many inside pitches to hit. And when I do, you know, I'd like to turn on it. Of course, I would like to work on that. But for me, is more of you know, just looking in certain counts. You know, maybe 2-0, 2-1, 3-1. Oh, maybe in leverage count, so I would, you know, maybe looking middle in for a you know, leverage pitch that I can drive, and but I haven't had many opportunities so far, and you know, middle the opposite way, it hits a hit for me.
And that was our interview with Christian Lopes. Apologies for the popping on the microphone, but I wanted to get as much of the original audio as we could. Just so you know, Christian mentioned Barney. He was actually referring to Mike Barnett, the roving hitting instructor for the Toronto Blue Jays, who was in Lansing that week. That wraps it up for episode number 5 of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'd like to thank everyone at the Lansing Lugnuts, but especially Jesse Goldberg-Strassler and Slavko Bekovic for all their help. Thanks to Will Browning and Christian Lopes for joining me, and thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back next week and go Jays go!